Good afternoon. So the Lord was just speaking in me, to me. You know, he speaks to us in us because he lives in us and he's the Word. And we live by the words that proceed from his mouth, the one who lives in us. And so something, I forget what it was rising up inside. And Jesus just said, you know, we died to that sin. Now, I've often thought about, and I've often said the words from Scripture, reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I've often said, well, I'm dead to this sin, which is true. But it just meant something profoundly more to me when Jesus said, we died to that sin. Because it reminded me in a unique way, in language that means something to me, that generates faith, because faith comes by hearing those words from Christ, is that we do this whole thing in union together. And so Christ often uses the term we, which doesn't mean that he and I are doing it side by side. It means we're doing this as one, but we're one, but we're two, but we're one. And so I found that often in my language of faith too. And I said, Lord, no, we're not afraid here because you're not afraid and I'm one with you. You're my life. And so how can I be afraid if you're not afraid? So I thought about that when he said that to me, and I thought about Romans 6, and this is one of the places I'll teach from this week at our conference. So listen to some of the language here. This is in chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? It's one of the things I love about the Lord is that he talks about practicing righteousness. So does he give us space, time and space to practice this union with him? Yes, because he says where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Now, Paul's not, he's assuming that no one's ever just using grace as an excuse to sin. But because you have your new heart, you have the heart of Jesus, you're one with that heart, you have a new nature, the nature of Jesus, it's your true heart's desire to walk free from that which he conquered, the reign of sin in our lives, because sin kills. There's no fun in it. It's just destructive. It's self-destructive. And so even though where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, there is the grace of the forgiveness that flows like a river. But he's also saying that there's just the free grace to not have to give in to that sin anymore either. That's why Paul said, what shall we say then? That we continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. The King James says, God forbid. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? That's a good question. How can you, if you died to sin, how can you still live in it? And so the question is, well, when did that happen? When did I die to sin? And the answer in this wonderful chapter, we'll just look at this stuff real quickly, but, or do you not know? And this is a question he was asking Christians. So obviously there were a lot of Christians that Paul assumed didn't know. There are a lot of Christians today who don't know. I would say that Romans 6 is the most important chapter in the Bible. And it's one of the most misunderstood or just avoided chapters by Christians because they think it's real complicated. But it's not complicated at all. That's a deception from the enemy. Everything about the gospel is simple enough for sheep to understand. As I've said before, sheep aren't exactly spiritual rocket scientists. He said, unless you become like a little child, you can't explore the kingdom. So whatever you see in Scripture, if it seems complicated, or if you read commentaries that make it sound complicated, that's not God. They've misunderstood what it's saying because it's for little children. Do you not know? So he said again, we don't continue in sin so that grace can increase. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into the person of Jesus were baptized into his death? Oh, so when did you die to sin? You died to sin in his death. Therefore, having been buried with him through baptism into death, There's a lot of stuff we'll avoid. Verse 5, for if we've become united with him, and the word likeness is actually the word same. For if you have become united with him in the same death of his, certainly we shall also in the same resurrection of his. Knowing this, that our old self, the slave to sin, the person that was under the condemnation of sin, under guilt and condemnation, under judgment, under sin's power, knowing this, our old self was crucified when? With him. Verse 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. That makes sense. If a person is an alcoholic and they die, they're no longer an alcoholic. And the temptation can't control them. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, Verse 10, listen what it says in verse 10. Now, we repeat verse 2. For how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Even so, just like Jesus died to sin once and for all, but he's now living to God, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God because you're in Christ. And so here's the point. Is that so how shall we who died to sin still live in it? When did you die to sin? When Christ died to sin, because you were in him. It's a mystical truth, but it's true. It's the truest thing in the world. Is heaven less true because you can't see it, because you can't feel it? Everything that's visible was invented and created by that which is invisible. We can't see God, but he's more real than we are. Heaven's more real than this. He who died to sin, how can we who died to sin still live in it? When did we die to sin? When he died to sin. For the death that he died to sin. Now, we know that he died for our sins, right? He paid the penalty for our sins. But he didn't just die for sin. He died to sin. He who knew no sin became our sin. What is the things that you struggle with the most? Is it fear? He became your fear. He became that sin. And he didn't just die for the fact that you've lived in fear, because it's sinful, but he died as the person that you are who's controlled by fear. And he died to that sin. And you were with him. You were in him. See, when he died for your sin, you were in him. And he died as if he were you. You paid for your sin in Christ. But because you were in him, when he died to that sin of fear, you died to that sin of fear. That's why he says in the very next verse, even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, because your death, his death to sin, was yours was the same. Even so, for the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin and living to God. How, why? Because you're in Christ. It's not something you earned. It wasn't some breakthrough that you got. Now, we can have a breakthrough into the experience of that. But what is it that you struggle with? What are those sins, whatever sin it might be? Jesus says, Chuck, we died to that. Oh, that's so real to me. He died to it. I died to it because ours was the same death. We as one died to that sin. He took that particular sin, became that particular sin that I struggle with, and we died to it. And now he's living to God, and because I'm in him, I'm living that life in him to God. So I'm able to say, Lord, we did die to that sin. Jesus, so he told me, he said, Chuck, we died to that sin, but we're living to God. That's who we are. That's the truth about us. We're living to God. I thought, wow. So it's not about me, you know, standing out alongside beside myself, looking at my life, going, oh, I don't think I am really living to God. I'm not really. No, it's about the truth about him. He's the answer. He's your freedom. All your eggs are in his basket. You mean I don't have to argue with my wife? I got so tickled at this, at the wedding, and wherever we were on Mars, it was so far away. It was 12.5-hour drive getting home yesterday. But I had just people talking to me about marriage and trying to give people advice about marriage. Well, you know, it's really hard. You know, you're going to do some fighting, but it's going to be, you know, like yada, yada. I'm thinking, golly, what, is that Jesus saying that? I mean, can you hear Jesus saying, oh, no, we're going to do this, but Chuck, we're going to do some fighting with that person, because that's what I do. I like to fight with people. We're going to raise our voice. We're going to have attitudes. Jesus doesn't do any of that. And he's put all his eggs in your basket. You and he are one. And so we were sitting around after the wedding and with some people, and one guy said, you know, what you said in the wedding, I just said some simple things about this kind of stuff, not Romans 6, but just about it being Christ. And he said, you know, I realize I've just been a jerk some with my wife. I need to probably stop doing that. I said, well, yeah, because Jesus isn't a jerk. And he's your life. You're one. And if he's not a jerk, he died to jerkiness. He died to being a jerk. He took on your being a jerk. He became a jerk, your jerk, on the cross and died. And in him, you died to that. You died as one. And Jesus doesn't do that kind of thing. I said, so of course you should stop doing that. If Christ is your life, you're one with him, because he doesn't act like a jerk. That's liberating. Isn't that freeing to know? So the next time you get tempted to get frustrated, Jesus, maybe if you'll just stop long enough to listen, you can hear Jesus say, you know, we died to being frustrated. We're living to God, and it's a life without frustration. You can just sink into that. Just sink into that and say thank you. And watch him be who he is, one with you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.